This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Best of the Drive. Catch up on the show here every day. Or listen weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's today's Best of the Drive.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Today, we have a very busy Royals day. The Royals have fired their hitting coach, Terry Bradshaw. We will discuss it on the show. Coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by the Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Coming up at 3 o'clock, the Hall of Fame voice of the Royals, Denny Matthews, will be on the show at 3 o'clock. And in the 5 o'clock hour, Jeffrey Flanagan. We don't bring Flanny out of retirement for just anything, you know? We're not bringing him up for a 5-2 win. It's got to be big breaking news. The Royals have decided to move on from their hitting coach. We'll have Jeffrey Flanagan on the show in the 5 o'clock hour. Before we bring on Vern, this seems very simple to me. Earlier this year, or last college football season, is probably a more accurate way of putting it, Missouri played Tennessee in a conference game. Tennessee ran for a million yards against Missouri. They are still running for yards against Missouri. At the end of it, it was very obvious what needed to happen. Someone had to get fired for it. Someone had to atone for those sins. Think about the Royals offensively and what's happened with this team. They have got off to an incredibly poor start. Someone has to answer for how bad they've been so far this season, and more specifically, how bad their offense has been this year. Whit Merrifield is hitting 183. Ryan O'Hearn is hitting 167. Carlos Santana is hitting 143. Salvador Perez is hitting 209. It's not just one or two guys that are struggling offensively. It's the whole damn team almost that's struggling offensively. When that's the case, and the frustrations are as high as I can remember in the last 4 or 5 years regarding the Royals, someone had to pay. Well, there's only five people who can pay for it. It's Dayton Moore, J.J. Piccolo, Mike Matheny, or the hitting coach and the pitching coach. Well, we know Dayton's not going anywhere. J.J. Piccolo just got the general manager job like 30 games ago. He's not going anywhere. They're not firing the manager. There were only one or two options. Flip a coin. But someone had to go for what we've seen over the first month and a half of the baseball season. There's just too many guys that are currently slumping at one time in order for them to keep everything the same. I don't think the fan base is going to allow that. And ultimately, if you're John Sherman, you have to be hearing the rumblings that are coming from your paying customers, and something had to be done. I don't think that this is a move that is necessarily about instant production and turning things around. I think it's about continuity. You bring someone up who knows your system, knows your organization, knows these players as well as anyone. This just seems like a very logical move for everyone. Again, when things have been as bad as they've been for the Royals for the first 6 weeks of the season, where you have scored fewer runs than everybody else, you are one of the worst teams in the American League, you are not going to go around as business as usual. There's only a handful of people that they can give you, so to speak, We know that the top three people were not going anywhere. You had a choice between the pitching coach and the hitting coach. The offense is a little worse than the pitching right now. So Terry Bradshaw is out and Alex Zumwalt is up. Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. He is the Royals insider, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, how's it going?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Vern. I imagine that you saw this one coming, right?
Well, Alex Zumwalt, Mike Tosar deserve, well, Alex Zumwalt's the one getting the promotion. He deserves this. He has been much heralded within the Royals organization for quite a while. I have no issue with his promotion, and to be quite honest, to bring him and Mike Tosar in to that dugout, the guy at the top has to go. You got to get rid of Terry Bradshaw. You can't go up to your hitting coach and say, hey, this guy's the future, and then Mike Tosar's the guy that unlocked Jorge Soler, unlocked Salvador Perez, so we're bringing him in as well. You've basically already stripped Terry Bradshaw of everything but the title, so why not just take that title from him? But I do think, big picture, it's laughable, the move today. He's a sacrificial lamb, because listen to the names that you mentioned in the open. Whit Merrifield? It's coaching with Whit Merrifield? Get real. This guy led the league in hits twice. Terry Bradshaw was the hitting coach then, but that doesn't even matter. Yeah, he was the hitting coach when Salvi hit 48 home runs. The reason why this offense sucks is because of the veteran bats. The same reason last year's offense sucked is why this year's offense so far has been atrocious. Merrifield, look, Salvi carried him to 74 wins last year. Nicky Lopez not in the lineup tonight. Nicky Lopez, one of the 10 worst everyday hitters in Major League Baseball. Whit Merrifield's worse. Carlos Santana, if he didn't get hurt, he would be down there as well. Hunter Dozier's performed well, but again, this organization believed in Adalberto Mondesi. You know, him and Edward Olivares going down, coupled with the fact that you're getting nothing from Witt, not much from Salvi, nothing from Santana. The core of this team for the past 5 years that this front office continues to believe in, once again shows you we're not capable of carrying a big league offense. And yet, they continue to believe in these bats because, CDOT, MJ Melendez is doing fine. Bobby Witt Jr. is progressing well. Emmanuel Rivera had a terrific weekend in Denver. As a matter of fact, the Royals offense is performing as well as it has all year. They're averaging 7 runs over the last 5 games. And keep in mind, the pitching staff has the worst ERA in the American League. The starting rotation has an ERA of 5. The bullpen, the bullpen has the highest whip in the American League. And the pitching staff as a whole strikes out fewer batters than anybody in baseball. The problems are so much bigger than Terry Bradshaw. It's the veteran bats. It's the fact that you don't have a number 4 nor a number 5 starter. You don't have a starter that you feel confident can give you 7 innings when you need it. I'm happy for the promotions today, but to think that Terry Bradshaw was at the center of anything, of why this team's 8 games below 500 is a joke.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern's appearances are brought to you by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Call 816-363-4BEN for a spring plumbing inspection. Vern, you watch this offense and this team every day. What do you see as their biggest problem offensively?
The veteran bats? Exactly what I was talking. Whit Merrifield's leading off again. Whit Merrifield's one of the 3 worst hitters in baseball through the first 32 games. I'm not saying he can't come out of it, but the fact that he's been one of the worst hitters in baseball, and yet this team is forced or choosing to continue to run him out there as the leadoff hitter. You got Michael A. Taylor yesterday hitting in the 2 spot. The problem with this offense is the talent. Michael A. Taylor, Whit Merrifield, Nicky Lopez, those guys are nice table setters. You know, one of them would be an okay leadoff hitter. The rest of them are 8-9 hitters. But these are the guys you have hitting at the top. Again, 2021, that told you all you needed to know about this core. This team doubled down on Dozier and Mondesi and Merrifield and Taylor. They gave Michael A. Taylor a new contract, Benny and Salvi, the same team we watched flounder to 74 wins last year despite an all-time performance from Salvador Perez. They brought back the same offense and expected different results. Sure, there's been pressing. Salvi's pressed, Merrifield's pressed, Nicky Lopez has pressed. There's been shaky approaches at times while those guys are pressing. But to me, it's the talent. You know, unless they truly expected MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. to lead this team in the middle of May, which I don't believe is true, the men that were supposed to lead this offense have pressed and have disappointed. The kids that were supposed to come up and complement early and then take over down the road, maybe in September and going into 2023, this offense becomes Bobby's and MJ's and Prado's and Pasquantino's. But the veterans haven't allowed that transition to happen. They've put them in a spot where, like we saw the other night in Colorado, MJ, Rivera, and Bobby Witt Jr. have to do all the damage. It's the veteran bats that have let the offense down so far.
Last question here, Vern. This is as fired up as I can remember you talking about this team. I went on Sunday Sound Off yesterday on 41, and they asked me, should fans continue to have hope in the turnaround for the Royals? I'll ask you this question. You know this organization as well as anyone. You're around this team. You know all the major players, both on the team and in the front office. Should fans be hopeful that they have the group in place to help turn this thing around?
The reason why I'm fired up is because I've just heard way too many people celebrating the fact that this move today shows that the Royals care. Man, that's what you want. You just wanted a smoke signal that they care. To me, I'm holding the people that are on the field accountable and then the people that put those people on the field accountable. To me, it's not about the coaching staff. It's the players and it's the front office. The reason for hope... I point to the youth. I point to Brad Keller, Daniel Lynch, MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., and the track record of Whit Merrifield and Salvador Perez. Look, it's not difficult to close your eyes and dream on this offense. We know the talent of Merrifield, of Salvi, of Benny, of Dozier, and then you sprinkle in MJ Melendez, Emmanuel Rivera, and Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah, that should be good enough, but those names that have 4, 5, 6 years of big league experience, those are the ones that are disappointing. And then you look at the pitching staff. Daniel Lynch, Brad Keller have been fine. Zach Greinke's been fine. You have a fine top of the rotation. It's not great. Not many guys are going to get deep, but you have a fine top of the rotation. The question is can Carlos Hernandez turn it around? Because for all of the fans that want him gone, there's no one else in this organization that has the upside of Carlos Hernandez. I got love for Bubich and Singer and Kowar and the rest, but none of them have the four-pitch mix of a Carlos Hernandez. So the hope resides in the youth and in the fact that there's just under 80% of the season remaining.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. His appearances are brought to you by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Call 816-363-4BEN for a spring plumbing inspection. Vern, always good catching up with you on this breaking news day. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
That's our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Coming up momentarily, we'll talk some Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about the decision to let Melvin Ingram walk for $600,000. But you know what happens if we lead with the Royals? It can only mean one thing.
We're where you want to be.
It is time for a random Royals lineup. We flash back to this date in 1971, and guess what, Carrington? They won! They did a win in 1971!
Okay, all right. How many players on the 1971 Royals can we name? How many of these guys have we heard of?
Looking at the lineup, you're going to struggle. Leading off, though, you'll know him, the shortstop, Freddy Pate.
Hey, Freddy P.
Batting second, the right fielder, Joe Keough.
Okay.
K-E-O-U-G-H. Don't know who that is. Batting third, the center fielder, Amos Otis.
Hey, I've heard A-O before. A-O. Famous Amos Otis.
Batting fourth, the first baseman, Gale Hopkins.
Okay.
You know a Gale Hopkins?
I never heard of a Gale Hopkins before. I've heard of Bernard Hopkins before.
That probably related. Batting fifth, the left fielder, Ed Kirkpatrick.
Eddie.
Batting sixth, another name you'll know, the second baseman, Cookie Rojas.
Hey, he's in the Royals Hall of Fame. I heard of Cookie before. What's your favorite kind of cookie?
Oh, chocolate chip.
Who has a favorite cookie that's not chocolate chip cookie?
I mean, I'm a big peanut butter guy with the Reese's peanut butter, with the Reese's Hershey's Kiss in it. That's a good cookie.
You're just doing way too much if your favorite cookie's not a nice, warm, I mean, fresh out the oven chocolate chip cookie. Who doesn't love it?
Batting seventh that day was the third baseman, Paul Shaw. Paul had a nice day. Went 3-for-4. Good for him. Batted 300 throughout the year. Batting ninth, the catcher was Dennis Pepke. P-A-E-P-K-E. The Royals did come back and win that day, so no decision for their pitcher, Mike McCormick.
D-Pep.
Al Fitzmaurice came on in relief.
Hey, friend of the show.
Jim York got the win that day, and Ted Abernathy saved his seventh of the game, and the Royals beat the Oakland Athletics 10-4 on this date in 1971.
Oakland probably played in that same stadium back in 1971. Their stadium has gone no renovations since then. Same building they're playing in.
The Oakland team has players you'd heard of. Like Reggie Jackson.
Okay, yeah, no, I've heard of them before. I imagine Dennis Eckersley was on that team. Was he on that team in 71?
I don't know if he was on the team. He didn't pitch that day, but the starting pitcher for the A's that day was a Blue Moon Odom.
Oh, okay, all right, my guy. I've heard of him before. I actually have his rookie card. All right, let's transition. Let's talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, before we get into it, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I already know. We've done this long enough that I already know what's about to happen. I'm going to express concern about the Kansas City Chiefs. A majority of you will tell me that I'm stupid, that they've been to 4 straight AFC championship games. How can you ever question the infinite wisdom of the Kansas City Chiefs? Fast forward to when they start playing games. I'll end up being right about what I was worried about, but no one will admit that I was right. Last year, Rob, did I not tell you, go get Melvin Ingram. They don't have enough pass rush. Shut up. You don't know anything. What are you talking about? How dare you question the infinite wisdom of Brett Veach? What is one of the biggest reasons why they got eliminated this postseason? It was a lack of a pass rush. Fast forward 6 months, we're in the exact same position. I know it, and you know it. Their plan on fixing the pass rush has been a bad plan. They've done a great job with the safeties. They've done a good job with the corners. We can disagree on what their wide receiver plan is, but I've at least seen them have a plan and execute said plan. They really wanted Juju Smith-Schuster. When they traded Tyreek Hill, they quickly pivoted and brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Everybody likes Sky Moore. Again, I want them to have a number one wide receiver, but that's probably not going to be the situation this year, and I've accepted that to some degree. But somebody has to explain or show me what the plan is at them getting pressure on the quarterback. We saw last season in their final game, they went up against one of the worst offensive lines we have ever seen at that stage in the season. We were told that you can't have an offensive line that bad and win important games. That offensive line went up against the Chiefs' defensive line and looked like the 94 Dallas Cowboys offensive line. The Chiefs have done nothing really to improve it. What is stopping us from being in the exact same situation next season with that difficult of a schedule going up against those offenses and those quarterbacks for us not to be in the exact same position? How am I the only one that's upset by this and frustrated by this and wants them to spend not even significant resources on the defensive line? They've spent one decent resource on it. It was the 30th overall pick. And traditionally, that's not where you're going to get year one production. You might get year two, year three production. But your plan to fix the pass rush cannot be the 30th overall pick. And we hope and pray that Frank Clark finally turns it around. He ain't turned it around in the first 3 seasons he's been here. Now in year 4, we're supposed to count on that? Somebody's got to be with me on this one. I'm not the only one that is frustrated by their lack of a plan on pass rush. This season, we have seen pass rusher go off the board left and right. We saw the round one, and maybe your argument was, well, it's not worth it to spend that much money on Chandler Jones. It's not worth it to spend that much money on Von Miller. Okay. I see your side. I think you make some valid points. It's probably not good business to spend $16 million on a 34-year-old edge rusher. They couldn't sign Arden Key. They let Melvin Ingram walk for $600,000. They never had a plan to sign Melvin Ingram. I don't want to hear this that Melvin Ingram chose money over winning. That's not true. The Chiefs had no serious plan in re-signing Melvin Ingram. You want to know how I know? Because he signed for 1 year, $5 million. They match. They had the ability to match Ingram. I don't want to hear this, well, they got to get Orlando Brown signed. Their cap situation is not that bad where they can't match a $5 million contract for a player that they really want. They value the compensatory pick more than they valued having Melvin Ingram on the team. Why would they not be in the exact same situation during the season? Rob, I've already grabbed my crystal ball and I'm looking at it. I feel like Miss Cleo. And I'm telling you, week 10, week 11, we will be on this show complaining about the defensive line and all the people that are telling us, shut up. You don't know more than Andy Reid. You don't know more than Brett Veach. They will be frustrated because they will lose a game to a good team because they cannot get any pressure on their quarterback. Like, we all don't see it coming. Everybody sees it coming. They're going into a season, Rob, depending on Frank Clark. Their defense will not work this season if they don't get a good version of Frank Clark. I just don't understand. They've slow played this thing. And the time to make a significant move at pass rush is over. It's after the draft. We're almost at the holiday. We're almost at Memorial Day. You're not getting a quality pass rusher at this point. You're waiting for somebody to get cut. Or you're going to need to spend a little bit of money to go get Clowney. And they've shown no interest in being in on Clowney. So 913-576-7610. Maybe you think I'm overreacting. Maybe you think I'm crazy. But I am telling you, we all know what's exactly about to happen. We will be in a situation late in the fall where they'll be playing a really good team. They can't get pressure. And we'll be sitting here wondering, why didn't they do more in the summer? They've spent more resources, Rob, on linebacker than they've spent on the defensive line. Help me out here, Rob. What are they seeing that I'm not seeing? What are they seeing that we aren't seeing when it comes to their defensive line?
I don't know, because I was standing here right with you at this point last season and at this point after the Bengals game. The Chiefs need to revamp their pass rush. You were big on number two receivers, the number one problem, and then it shifted after the Tyreek Hill trade. I've been steadfast. Fixing the pass rush is goal one. It was not good enough last season, and it was not only not good enough, it was super-duper expensive to be super-duper mediocre. And I love the George Karloftis pick, but it's not enough. If your plan is Karloftis, Nadi, Jones, Clark, with a rotation of what's-his-face from the Colts, Mike Dana, and then hope a Josh Kando or a Malik Herring becomes a guy, you're in trouble. You're screwed. And I don't understand why the Chiefs didn't get this done with Melvin Ingram. It's now two off seasons in a row, two, where they had him in the building and they felt like, and they were in a good spot with him, and he ends up somewhere else both times. I'm all for comp picks. You know I love comp picks. I love picks. Give me all the picks. But not signing Melvin Ingram to one for 4.5 seems like just a bad miss.
Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, you can't make someone sign with you. They made him an offer. He wanted another one. Florida, no state tax. The Chiefs didn't even match the offer. If the Dolphins had come in here and they had completely knocked it out of the park, I'd side with you a little bit. If the Dolphins came in here and offered Melvin Ingram 1 year, $8 million, and the Chiefs just said that's a little bit too rich for our blood, okay, we can agree to disagree on that. A player that we know, or at least we believe they wanted to let come back, they let him walk over $600,000. Their offer was 1 year, 4.4. He signed in Miami for 1 year, $5 million. If you're not willing to match that offer, then you didn't really want him to resign. You don't really value him as a player. If you're making $72,000 at your job and then you tell them that another company has offered you $78,000 and you're thinking about taking the offer and they don't match and they tell you, well, good luck to you, they don't value that much as an employee. So go work for Cerner in that situation. So I don't want to hear this, oh, well, you can't make somebody sign with you. It takes two to tango. They didn't want Melvin Ingram. Of all the positions on the field that they have made additions to, the one that probably had the most glaring need, they have put the least amount of resources into it. They've put the resources in the corner. They put the resources in the safety. They put the resources in the wide receiver. Their resource this year was restructuring Frank Clark's contract. Their resource this year was the 30th overall pick for this upcoming season. It is not going to be enough. So I have not coached in three Super Bowls the way that Andy Reid has. I don't have a ring, but I watch football every Sunday. And I watch Chiefs football every Sunday. And their defensive line wasn't good enough last year, and it certainly will not be good enough this year, especially when you factor the quarterbacks and the offenses they're going up against. You got an inexperienced secondary with not enough up front on the defensive line. That is not equal a good defense. It is not equal enough defensively to be able to navigate how tough we believe that the AFC is going to be this year.
You're listening to The Drive.
Let's say my future wife, I get one or two options. Die-hard KU fan or takes egg roll over crab ragoon? Rock chalk, baby.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You know what the best barbecue side is? And I'm talking if you're having a barbecue at the house. Not if you go out somewhere, you know, like I love the cheesy corn when you go to Jack Stack. I love my Gates fries, you know, the Oklahoma Joe's fries, the Joe's KC fries, very tasty fries. The best barbecue side is just original Lay's potato chips. It's a tried and true staple. You ever been at the cookout before? And you grab yourself some buns, some cheese, you get yourself something to eat. All I need to go with this, Rob, is a handful of regular Lay's potato chips. I don't need your baked beans. I don't need your coleslaw. I don't need your potato salad. Now, I will take some corn on the cob if you got it. That hot corn off the cob coming off the grill, delicious. But those original Lay's hit every single time. Goes with everything. Goes with hot dogs, barbecue, ribs, chicken. Whatever, whatever you got at the barbecue, that Lay's is going to be a great 1-2 punch. The best barbecue side, Rob, at the cookout, at the barbecue, is just a bag of original regular Lay's. That's all I need. Sometimes you want to get a little fancy. Maybe you get the original Ruffles. But that's all you need, Rob, just a regular original plain chip. Top tier barbecue side.
Listen, I got no issue, no beef with the original Lay's. Do you know what the original Lay's is when you're at the cookout or the barbecue at someone's house? Let's say the 4th of July or Memorial Day is coming up. It's a better example. You go, you're making your second run. You go back for that second run of food. Maybe the first run you got, if it's you, you got ribs or you got some burn-ins or something. And you're like, I didn't really get a chance to go get the pulled pork. I'm going to go back for the pulled pork. You're not going to load up your plate with the same sides, and you're a little more full, but you still need that salty change. So that's when you get the Lay's. They're a good side, but they're a round two side. Because round one, you got like a cheesy potato bake, which usually shows up at these things, obviously there. Sometimes there's a mac and cheese, obviously there.
This
a coleslaw is amazing.
Really quick, let me ask you this here. Are we counting mac and cheese as a barbecue side?
I mean, it's at barbecues on the side.
But I'm saying is we only eat baked beans with one kind of food, right? You're not just randomly having Thanksgiving dinner with the turkey and you got the baked beans off to the side, right? Mac and cheese goes with every meal. You can have fried chicken and have mac and cheese. You can have barbecue and have mac and cheese. You have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. I don't know if we can count mac and cheese as a barbecue side. Sure, you have it at barbecues, but I don't know if it's fair to put it because it's so multi-purpose. It goes with everything. Mac and cheese goes with everything. I don't know if we can count that. I think that's cheating a little bit here. I think it's cheating. You have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving time. You have mashed potatoes and things like that year round. It goes with any kind of thing. I don't know if that can count as one specific side. That's just a side in general.
That's fair then, but there's always some sort of cheesy potato dish, which is usually unique to this sort of thing. And I'm a coleslaw guy. I love coleslaw. That second round is Lay's round. And it's a good side. It's in tier two. It's really good, but it's not elite. You're never going to be like, oh, I'm too good for original Lay's. It's not top tier. It's not top flight. Also, you've set the text line off with your mac and cheese take, just for the record.
Cheesy potato bait sounds like 135th side. I've never been to a barbecue and that was an option.
Really?
Ever.
Really?
Not one single time have I ever been to a barbecue and there was cheesy potato bake.
It's incredible.
Who brings the cheesy potato bake? It's got to be somebody's auntie, right? That's somebody's auntie. Bill is not bringing the cheesy potato bake. Bill's not bringing that.
It's usually a mom. There's a mom involved. It's not the item I bring. I usually bring the plates. I know my lane. I
100%.
Stick
in 100%.
I bring that or I bring some beer. I know my lane. I'm in my lane. But there is a mom or a woman who does bring a cheesy potato bake, and it's always phenomenal.
No, you can always, if you're like me and you, and you know you can't cook, so like I can't really contribute to the barbecue. Like all I can do is bring something. You can never go wrong with bringing hot dog buns, hamburger buns, ice, or something to drink. You can never go wrong with bringing one of those things. You show up to the function with barbecue. You show up to the barbecue function and you've got ice and hot dogs and hamburger buns. You're good. You can eat. Nobody's going to look at you wrong like you didn't contribute if you bring those things. You got to show up with something, though. Paper plates, plastic utensils, paper cups, ice, a bottle, a six pack, whatever. You got to bring something. But you can always, when in doubt, go with that. Rob, I've never been to a function and there have been a cheesy potato bake. Not one single time. This is like a staple in the Brenton household.
This is a staple. Now, I have different names. Some people call it like a hash brown casserole or whatever the terminology you choose here is. But I was trying to get the crux of it, which is some sort of cheesy potato dish.
This is two Americas. This is the definition of two Americas. Cheesy hash browns. Is this a thing? 913-576. I'm not saying that this is not a thing in general, but this has to be a two Americas thing, right? I guarantee you no one at Swope Park has ever had a cheesy hash brown meal. That has never been eaten at Swope Park. Not one single time. Truce Park has never seen this cheesy potato bake ever. Truce Park been around for 100 years. Not one time has anyone brought that to the function. Never heard of this before. Someone said, what about watermelon? I mean, that's another staple. You can definitely bring the watermelon. Someone says, if you, I'll give you guys a recipe. C-Dot, you need to try it. I'm not saying I wouldn't eat your cheesy potatoes. One thing I don't want is cheesy potatoes at the function.
Why are you above it at the function?
Just doesn't seem like a function meal. It just doesn't seem like it. What kind of dish is it coming in?
Like a glass Pyrex?
Okay, well, we're definitely not bringing glass Pyrex to the function. Never. This is wild to me.
Some people do make a good point. I've had it before at cookouts and barbecues where it has like chips or like cornflakes on top of it for a crunch. Amazing.
That's what someone just said. My mother-in-law makes it and puts cornflakes on the top of it for the crunch. It's phenomenal. We're definitely talking to Americas. I don't even need to ask any more questions. You guys have answered all of my questions. Somebody said cheesy taters are a staple with unfrosted cornflakes.
Had it. Worth
it. You told me everything I need to know about this. This is 100% a two Americas thing. That's perfectly fine. Someone says cheesy potatoes, a.k.a. funeral potatoes. Oh, I've had them before, just not at the function. Never at the function. Not a single time. I've never seen it before. This is wild to me. I haven't been this blown away since people were telling us about hunting. And I was like, wow, you guys do all that? I didn't know. I learned something. Someone said it's like Rob is speaking a foreign language. Me too. Cheesy baked potatoes with cornflakes. All right. This has been one of the more mind-blowing shows we've done in a while. It's one of the more mind-blowing shows we've done. I've never heard of this before. Cornflakes?
Yeah, it's like a little crunch on top.
Okay, all right. Hey, if you like it, I love it, man. I'm not here to judge.
Drizzle a little barbecue sauce in it, too. Mm.
Someone said, C-Dot, you got to come to my function. Okay, sure. If you know what, I'll come. I'll come to one of these functions. Let me ask you this. What kind of music is being played at the function? That's why when we did that summer barbecue song, that's why you picked that song you picked.
A little country vibes, a little ice cold beer, some cheesy potatoes, a great day.
That kind of music is the kind of music I would imagine for someone that has cheesy baked potatoes at their thing. This is certainly the kind of music playing if that's the kind of food you're eating.
1, 2, 3, here we go. Don't want to wait till the sun's sinking. We can be
feeling. I see why you guys are having cheesy potatoes with cornflakes on the top. I get it. Everything has become clear to me now.
Well, IPA on ice? What a day.
IPA on ice. All right. You're just hitting all the stereotypes on the board right now. That's what you're doing. Someone said, come on, C-Dot, it's a Midwest staple. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying it's a Midwest staple for the other America. It's not a Midwest staple to me. I've never heard of this before. I've had collard greens brought to the function before. Rob, I'm imagining that's never happened to you before. I'm imagining no one's ever showed up with a pot of greens with neck bones in them before. I'm imagining that's never happened before. I'm imagining in your neighborhood there's not a guy riding around selling M80s out of the back of his trunk for the 4th of July. I'm just imagining that we've just grew up in two different kind of places.
No, those things don't transpire. I've had collard greens, but never at a cookout barbecue, no.
At the function.
Never at the function.
Yeah, at the function.
We don't really have a person telling him he's out of car, but there is a parade of parents with red cups walk around the neighborhood.
Have you ever gone to the barbershop and you could just get the new movies on DVD? Has that ever happened to you before?
No.
Like, can you just walk into the barbershop and they got Batman in 4K on DVD that you can buy for $5 or 3 for $10? Probably never happened to you before.
That's never happened to me before. I can say that.
I don't know if that's a barbershop that I can go into. If I can't walk in there and say Biggie's better than Tupac and an argument breaks out, that's just not a place that I can go get my hair cut. You go in there, people probably ask you, who's Biggie? That's not the kind of barbershop that I need to go into.
You've also told me situations where you walk in and say that, and now your haircut takes an hour and a half.
I mean, that's also a possibility, too. It's also a possibility. You never know what could happen in the barbershop. It's just two Americas here. Rob, you're lying. You've never heard this at the barbecue.
2, 3, here we go. Don't wanna wait till the
100% the barbecue.
I would call the park ranger if you played this at the barbecue.
Have a little of this, maybe a little of that new bomb pop quirk from Boulevard. Have yourself a little Saturday.
Okay, man. I learned a lot, man. I've learned a lot. Someone said, what is Rob talking about? IPA on ice. I love Rob to death. Rob knows this. If you think of the stereotypical 131st and Metcalf resident, Rob likes all of those things. Rob shops at American Eagle. Rob loves an IPA. Rob loves soccer. Rob can tell you everything there is to know about Game of Thrones. Just think of what you think of that person. Just think of that. And that's Rob. Someone said Rob's not representing us. That's the only representative I have right now is the text line and Rob. I don't have any other representative. I'm not here to stereotype anybody, just Rob. Rob told me you eat potatoes with Frosted Flakes in them and said this was a common thing.
Hold on, I never said frosted. Regular, unfrosted corn flakes.
You can't even get the... Okay, my bad.
You want that little crisp, a little crunch.
It is a little crisp.
Lay's would also
crunch.
Work on top of them, by the way,
okay.
As an option.
My bad. Okay.
Why bring Lay's to the function when they're already in this amazing dish?
My bad. You're right. I don't want to disrespect the function.
I bet you've never been to a function that had brats and sauerkraut and onions.
No, I've never been to a function that had sauerkraut. Never been there, no.
You got to have a little sauerkraut and onion station to fill up your brat.
I've learned this before. I've learned this. Someone said this is one function I will not attend if that's the kind of music that they're playing. It's also a function that I don't want to be a part of either. I love to hang out with Rob. If that's the kind of music playing, I don't want to hang out with him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.